A religious procession, led by Catholic priests and altar boys, turns a corner from a main road into a narrow street of red brick terraced houses. A group of brownies and girls in white Holy Communion dresses follow. A large tapestry banner of Jesus Christ is held aloft. On the main road, Mina Khan, a teenage Asian girl, cheerfully carries a large wooden crucifix. Her older brothers, Manir and Salim, both in their early 20s, happily carry a statue of the Madonna and Child.
And the drums went boom and the cornets played and the jukebox took back all the way and the kids and the dogs were laughing as they ran.
Check out the nurses!
Two more brothers in their 20s, Tariq and Abdul, carry religious banners. Ella Khan, a middle-aged white woman with red hair in a blue overall, runs along the street and stops at the corner. She glances over her shoulder. A middle-aged Pakistani man watches the parade, amused. Sajid, the youngest brother, wears a green parka jacket and throws paper petals into the air. Annie, Ella's friend, walks beside the brothers and their sister. Ella waves frantically at them while still glancing over her shoulder. Just as they're about to turn the corner into the narrow street, Ella runs over to them.
So we reached the square at the top of the hill and the music stopped.
Honey.
We stood quite still.
Honey.
And the people were saved. And
it's Joe McCurry's in mosque.
Okay.
Get red alert!
Red alert!
Have to go
get
back.
That
back!
Oh,
shit. The brothers, Mina and two girls, sprint into a back alley carrying their banners. Sending pigeons skyward, they charge along the cobbled alley and run parallel to the procession on the other side of the terraced houses. Ella simultaneously sprints along the pavement of the narrow street. The crucifix, the banners and the Madonna wobble as they dash along the alley. The Pakistani man, George Khan, stands with his back to the alley as Ella joins him. Behind them, Mina's group suddenly halt. They peek round the corner at George and Ella. As George and Ella watch the parade, the group quickly sneak along the alleyway. George points and waves as the brass band passes by. Mina's group reach the end of the alleyway and stop. The procession swings round the corner from the narrow street and the brass band is directly in front of them. Relieved, the group scamper onto the road behind the brass band. The group march merrily along the road. A coloured photograph of Sajid smiling underneath the fur-lined hood of his parka jacket hangs on his living room wall. Photos of his sister and brother surround one of his mother, Ella, and Father George. Sajid looks at a piece of gold jewellery. He puts it in a small box. Salford, Manchester, 1971. Water flows from between the legs of a naked man into an old metal bathtub. He places an empty kettle on the adjoining table and steps into the bath. Glittering, coloured garments in an old chest. Tariq adjusts Mina's sari.
Keep still.
Ah, I'm pulling my hair out. Oh,
keep your bloody head
still, then. Sajid, you go upstairs and ask your dad to give me the nick comb.
I haven't got nick.
Well, stop scratching your bleeding head, then. Mania, are you out of that bath yet?
I've only just got in.
Wish we had a proper bath. That one did not scratch your arse.
Hey, you gobshite, I've told you once, keep it shut. And leave him alone. Sajid, go upstairs and hurry those boys up.
Look stupid in this.
Do it yourself, then.
No, you don't. You look lovely.
Sajid sticks two fingers up at his sister as he climbs the stairs. George carefully lifts a Pakistani white and gold wedding hat from the chest and admires it. Abdul picks up the traditional male white wedding coat from a bed and turns to his brother Nazir, who looks nervously at his reflection in the mirror. Tariq lies in his bed glumly. Sajid at the door to Nazir.
All right,
Akid. All right, Saj.
Nazir smiles at Sajid, then stands up and slips his arms into the sleeves of the coat as Abdul holds it open for him. George places the white and gold wedding hat proudly and firmly on Nazir's head as Abdul, Tariq and Sajid watch.
Looks great, Dad.
Tradition sees, son. All our people wearing this.
George puts black eyeliner on Nazir's eyelids. Abdul looks at Tariq and nods, grabs Sajid and hauls him out of the door. George delves in his pocket.
A watch. Here, says your name in Arabic. Say, Nazir.
George places the watch on Nazir's wrist and turns to pick up a mask of glittering gold tinsel.
Son, today you make me feel very proud.
Hey, you two, pack it in now or I'll wipe the floor with the pair of you. Mina, veil on. Sajid, you go and get me those cigs. Take that bleeding Parker off. Mania, move it. Abdul, Tariq, Salim, let's have a look at you.
In the living room, Ella brushes the shoulders of Salim's waistcoat and tidies Abdul's hair. Sajid stands in awe as George leads Nazir down the stairs. Nazir's face is hidden by the gold tinsel of the mask.
Hat.
Abdul puts on his hat as George and Nazir reach the foot of the stairs.
Ella?
Ella turns round and is overwhelmed by her son's attire.
Your son?
Sellotaping? Sellotaping?
Oh,
plenty sellotaping. Oh, one who's gone sellotaping. Sellotaping.
A small crowd watches the glittering family climb into their minibus.
Look at that, look. Picking at his fucking picnic.
Right, Saj. All right, Ernest. See you later.
Tariq winks at a blonde girl who stands by her front door with her surly grandad.
What are you fucking grinning at?
Nothing, grandad. You just look funny, that's all.
The crowd throw rice.
Ernest, you get your ass over here.
Ella and George push Annie into the old black and yellow van, which is bedecked with garlands of flowers. The crowd wave as the van pulls away. A black and white Great Dane chases after it. The wedding party is gathered in a large public hall. George talks to another Pakistani man. Ella, in a dark blue hat and matching light blue suit, is on a small stage with Tariq and Abdul. They stand beside Nazir, who sits motionless on a chair. He parts the tinsel covering his face and peers at the buzz of activity below him. Annie sits beside a white woman in a purple sari, Helen Karim, and hands her a drink. Nazir stares with terror as the door bursts open. The mullah, a middle-aged man in a white turban, strides into the hall. Ali Khan, in a purple suit, welcomes him. The older men take their seats. Ali Khan points to the rear of the hall. The door opens and the bride is led in by her father. Her head is covered by a richly embroidered red and gold veil. The mullah smiles as the bride is guided by her parents up the centre aisle towards the stage. Her hands are covered in gold rings and bracelets. Strands of pink and white flowers enclose the platform where George has joined his wife and sons. They watch as the bride and her parents climb onto the stage. The veiled figure is seated next to Nazir. Abdul places his hands reassuringly on his brother's shoulders, which are draped with a red and gold cape. The bride's mother pulls back the veil to reveal a beautiful young woman with a gold pendant adorning her forehead. She looks expectantly at Nazir. Abdul pulls back the golden tinsel to reveal Nazir's anxious face. His bride gazes at him warmly with a smile. He looks down. She looks away. Ella watches her son apprehensively. The bride's mother steps forward and offers Nazir a morsel of food. He raises his hand and refuses it. George frowns, and Ella is startled. Nazir stands up.
You all right, son?
Bloody can't do this, Dad.
Nazir, come sit
no,
down.
No, I can't.
Everything okay? Nazir, don't do this.
Sorry, Dad.
Nazir!
Nazir pulls off the hat and mask, runs down the aisle and out of the hall. His mother chases him but stops at the door. The abandoned bride looks in disbelief at her mother, then distressed lowers her head. Tariq and Abdul watch their humiliated father as he stands clutching Nazir's hat to his chest. The photograph of Nazir on the living room wall disappears, leaving only an empty picture hook above the other photos. In the mosque, George and the mullah sit on a red carpet in front of a white wall with Arabic writing on it.
Why you want to do this thing to me? And bring a shame on my family? I no understand. No understand. Maybe I should have taken family to Bradford long time ago. More Pakistani there, see? Know this problem.
It will always be difficult for you, Zahir. They are different.
Mina bends over and sticks her tongue out at Ernest and Sajid, who sit on the pavement.
She's lovely.
Shut up.
Sajid nudges Ernest as he looks longingly at Mina. She straightens up and plays football with the boys in the street. 6 months later.
What is that?
A boy in an orange space hopper bounces by. Sajid and Ernest sit at the curbside, fishing in the drain with magnets tied to the end of bamboo sticks. A priest with a collection tin passes. In George and Ella's fish and chip shop.
Thanks.
Annie, Ella, how are you getting on with that Islam?
Just fine, thanks, Father.
Here's 2 dozen roses for the walk, Father.
And I've got 3 dozen shamrocks.
One chip, please. How many?
One.
Oh, hello, George. How are you doing?
Oh, very good. Aye, very good. Thank you for asking.
Good man. Well, God bless.
I'll go with you.
The priest pauses at the door and smiles at George doubtfully. George, pressing an old red transistor radio to his ear, watches the priest from the window.
This man bloody stupid, I think. Every day he got bloody flower.
Annie and Ella glance at each other.
Who's next?
In the alley, Tariq and Stella passionately kiss. Tariq stops and looks resentfully at Peggy, the dark-haired fat girl who stares at them while blowing bubblegum.
Tell her to go away, Stella.
No, I fucking won't go away, Tariq. I'm a best mate, all right?
Yeah, she's my best mate, Tariq.
Tell her to go and stand in the entry. She's putting me on.
Stella looks pleadingly at Peggy, who raises her eyes heavenwards, then walks round the corner. In the chip shop, Ella turns to George.
Will you put that bloody radio down and batter some fish?
News about Pakistan.
And a pickled onion, Carl.
The Islamabad government has also accused India of supplying arms to rebels fighting for independence in East Pakistan.
These bastard Indians. No bloody interest in East Pakistan. Only want Azad Kashmir. I bloody worry. Family live on border, they may be in danger.
The answer's no.
What are you bloody talking about, no? I no bloody ask you anything.
Oh, you don't have to. I can read your mind like the back of my hand, so you can piss off if you think you're bringing her over here.
Why do you talk to me like this, my darling?
If she sets foot in this country, I'm off, and I'll take the bloody kids with me.
My big problem. First wife always treats second wife like sister.
Get stuffed.
Someone in again.
Smiling, Ella attends to the customers as George walks over to the window smoking a cigarette. He sees Mina chasing Sajid, who holds her ball. She grabs her brother just as he throws the ball to Ernest, who hands it back to her. Mina looks up the street.
Get the book band here!
The kids run off.
You bloody kids hide again!
George sternly heads for the door. Munir, wearing his white mosque cap, opens the back gate to the alley.
Come on, Tariq, the mosque man's here. All right, Gandhi.
Tariq breaks away from Stella and follows Munir through the gate. Peggy appears from around the corner.
Your granddad'll drop a bollock if he finds out you're caught in a packet.
I don't care. Tariq's the only bit of happiness I've got.
So my granddad can go and fuck himself.
At his front door, George pushes Ernest out of the way and greets the mullah.
I'll fix them. Hey, open door, bastard!
He clips Salim round the ear when he opens the door.
I was just coming, Dad. I was just getting me real, see?
You think I bloody stuff?
No.
Where is Sajid? Sajid!
George storms into the house.
Sajid!
Sajid is hiding under a bed. George opens the bedroom door, bends down and spots him.
You bastard!
He drags him from beneath the bed and hauls him out the door at the mosque.
Bismillah!
Bismillah!
Ir-Rahman!
Ir-Rahman!
Nir-Rahim!
Nir-Rahim!
Bismillah!
Bismillah!
Ir-Rahman!
Ir-Rahman!
Nir-Rahim!
Nir-Rahim!
La ilaha!
La ilaha!
Illallah!
Illallah!
O Muhammadar!
O Muhammadar!
Rasulallah!
At the garage where Abdul works, he studies a picture of a nude woman inside an open locker. A young blonde comes down the stairs behind him. The workshop, a tarred and feathered man swings on a tyre. A large feather sticks out of his bottom.
Oh, your wife got a
what you look forward to, pal. That's Wacko, Gunga, drink.
Dad, you're right, Mark, I don't drink.
Gunga, it's tradition. He's getting married tomorrow. Drink, Gunga.
Take the notice of, though. You get off home, mate. Leave him alone, Mark. You know he doesn't drink.
Shut up, Spack. What? You're going to budgie up the bum. Yeah!
Outside the mosque, the mullah gestures to Mina to put her veil over her head. She does so, then removes it again when he walks by. Sajid joins a group of boys urinating against a wall. The boy beside him looks down and is shocked. The boy rushes away. The other lads gather round, pointing at Sajid, who is engrossed in urinating higher than anyone else. The boy informs the mullah, who rushes to look at Sajid. He grabs him and turns him round.
Let me see, Sajid.
The mullah bends his knees and looks down at Sajid. He drags him away. The Khan children look out the back window of the mosque van as the mullah gesticulates with George outside his house.
Here we go.
George opens the van door and grabs Sajid roughly.
Come on, faster. I bloody fix him. Hey, sharp looking. You make a bloody fool of me.
Jammy little leader.
George bursts into the living room with Sajid.
What the bloody hell's he done now?
Done? I tell you what he bloody done, missus. He makes a bloody show of me. All your bloody family always makes a bloody show of me. I go to that mosque long time. Now, how are you looking, mullah, in a bloody face? Because your son got bloody tickle-tackle.
Annie frowns at Ella.
What are you going on about, you big daft get? What bleeding tickle-tackle?
Mullah sees all the bloody children in a mosque seeing.
Well, he must be seeing things, George, because they were all done, all six of them.
She's right, George.
You not believe me? You're bloody looking.
Oh, Sajid, come here.
Get stuff.
Hey, hey, language.
I'll stuff you in a minute, you cheeky little bleeder. Now get here and get him off.
Come on, Saj, let me have a look. I've wiped your shitty arse before now.
Annie kneels down and disappears behind the sofa where Sajid stands.
Oh, he's right, you know, Ella. He's still there.
You see? It's all your bloody fault.
It's not to worry about, George. You can still get him done.
I know, I should have got done.
No bloody funny, you see. Just get this fixed. This thing has to be cutting.
Sajid dashes out.
Come here, you bastard!
Salim draws a penis.
Draw him all the time at college. Protects the end of the penis.
Hey, that's dead good, that, Salim.
Really, Mina. I wouldn't be doing foundation art if I couldn't draw.
You won't be when my dad finds out, Mr. Engineering student.
Foreskins are dirty. They wouldn't be there if they were dirty.
Why do they cut it off?
It lessens a feeling in your knot.
No, it doesn't.
And how would you know? You haven't used yours yet. Yes, I have.
Sajid hides.
You can't have this thing put there. It no belong to you. Not a religion, see? No worry about it. I buy you nice watch.
Oh, why bother with all this now at his age, George?
Your son goes bloody hell with this thing. But we fix his.
He's not going to hell.
I tell you, missus, it's my house and I bloody control it.
Your house?
Yeah.
Whose friggin' name's on the rent book?
Maybe your house, missus. My bloody shop money pay bloody rent.
Oh, yeah. And what do you think I do in there from 8:30 in the morning till 12:30 at night? Count the mushy fucking peas?
I know, bloody no. Every time I look, you sitting with Annie, talking, smoking, smoking, talking. Nobody serve bloody chips. Maybe I should send for Mrs. Khan number one. Tell her come quick. Second wife giving me bloody trouble.
Oh, aye. Go on, then. And send me over there. But I'll tell you one thing. She'll find it hard serving fish and chips dressed up from head to toe in her bleeding bedsheet.
Ella covers her face with a sheet from the washing line.
Could you keep your voices down, please? I've husband on nights.
Frig off! And wash your bastard curtains, you dirty cow. Come on, Saj.
Ella outside the loo door.
Come on, Saj. It's only a little operation. Won't hurt.
Hospital. Sajid in his parker is pushed on a trolley to his bed. The nurse zips up his trousers. George, Ella and the doctor arrive.
Hey, you getting your feet off that bed with your shoes on?
It doesn't matter, Mrs. Khan.
Well, it does to me, Doctor. I'm not having my kids accused of bad manners. People are a lot quicker to point the finger when they see they're a bit foreign. Well, not with mine.
Is everything all right?
tickle-tackle all gone?
Circumcision was absolutely fine.
You Indian?
I'm sorry.
George! Doctor!
The doctor goes to another patient.
Bastard Indian. See, Putar?
He holds up a watch proudly.
This is very special watch. It tell you time in Arabic.
Enoch Powell on TV.
Here lies the crucial importance for you and me, and no less for those among the immigrants whose future does lie here.
Salim and Tariq sit on the sofa munching sausages. Minar in the kitchen puts sausages and bacon on a plate.
Which Sir Alec Douglas, we could have a whip round and get Dad repatriated.
Minar in jeans squeezes between the two boys with a plate of bacon.
Oh, you fucking get it. Wait your turn.
Who will it, Mina?
It stinks of burnt bacon in it.
Mania sprays an air freshener.
What are we doing?
Dad'll smell it a mile off.
Put some curry powder about, that'll cover it. Over and over again
with derision. All four stop. Minar looks through the letterbox. A spotty-faced Ernest stares back at her.
What do you want, Pongo?
Is your Sajid back yet?
He's having his knob cut. Do you think he's going to go spazzing around the streets with you when he gets back?
Do you want a toffee, Mina?
Fuck off. Do you think I want a fucking ringworm like you, you whiffer?
Ella and George, carrying Sajid, come round the corner.
Ah! Dad's coming!
The boys spill the food on the floor. Mania sprays around them. Salim pushes Tariq into the kitchen. They dash out the back as Ella opens the front door. Salim returns for the frying pan. George whacks Sajid's head against the door frame.
It's okay, Putar, we are home now.
Put him in the parlour, George, and let's go get some bedding. Why that bloody folder?
Minar flaps Salim's folder up and down. Sajid grimaces with pain as George lowers him gently onto the sofa in the parlour. Minar comes into the room as George leaves. She produces from behind her back Salim's sketch of a penis and holds it in front of Sajid, then rips it in two. Sajid in his parka holds his crotch. In the backyard, Mania slaps a fish down on a chopping board and cuts its head off. Minar, in Wellington boots and white overall, stamps her feet down on the ground in time to the music. She gyrates her right hand and twists her head, then flips an upturned sweeping brush from one hand to the other. She dances, wheels, jerks and jumps around it. Mania sings along to the music as he guts the fish. By the back door, Tariq and Salim watch. She drapes a tea towel over her head, then hops over to Mania and leans into him, swivelling her shoulders back and forth. He smiles and jiggles his shoulders. She spins away from him and waves and twists the cloth above her head. Mania returns to the fish. Tariq and Salim share a cigarette. Annie walks to the Khan's door as an ice cream van drives along the street. Eager children run along beside it. Ella strokes Sajid's head as he lies asleep on her lap in the parlour. Annie comes into the room, shuts the door, tiptoes over to a chair and looks sympathetically at Sajid.
Where's old bothered balls? He happy now?
Yeah. He bought him a new dressing gown and a watch.
Not much of a swap, but it's better than that, I suppose.
Ella continues to stroke Sajid's hair as Annie takes a comic from her bag.
Annie, do you think I'm a good mother?
No, I think you're a friggin' awful mother.
Why would you have put one of your lads through this at his age?
You have no choice, love.
I did. I could have put my foot down and said no.
You're giving yourself a load of bleeding grief. This is religion, Ella, and it's theirs. You know that. You knew that when you got married.
At the mosque, George sits cross-legged on the floor, the mullah beside him.
Just cause the ma'am English, no mean they're not good Pakistani. I know people think this thing.
No one knows they hear it.
Yes, I hear what they say about me.
George looks sad. The mullah shifts uneasily and fidgets with his beads.
Zahir, until your sons join the community fully, they will be a worry for you. Listen.
The mullah turns his body round to face George.
I have a friend in Bradford. His name is Mr. Shah. He has two daughters. He's eager they be married. Now, if you think any of your sons is suitable and ready, would you be willing to meet him?
No problem. They're ready. You're it.
Inshallah.
The mullah clasps George's right hand. In the parlour, George, his hands on his hips, looks pleased with himself.
Ella!
He half opens the door.
I buy you a present from market.
Ella stands open-mouthed. A barber's chair of light tan leather stands in the middle of the room. George swivels it.
For you, my love.
What the bleeding hell is that?
It's good, I think. Bloody bargain.
It's an old barber's chair, you daft toot. Honestly, the amount of bleeding rubbish you bring in here. Well, it's not stopping there.
No bloody rubbish. £3 bloody. I think it's bloody lovely.
You want your head tested, spending £10 on that, and then mind £3 bloody.
Come.
George leads Ella to the chair.
Come try for yourself.
Oh, get off, you daft bleeder.
See? So comfortable.
Yeah, very bloody nice.
Yeah, good. Arms, look.
He raises the chair with the foot lever.
Swivel. And...
he collapses the back of the chair.
Get me off, you silly sod. You're going to break me bloody neck.
See? It's so relaxing.
A bleeding barber's chair to make me relax around you.
You're always relaxing with me. Because you're my lovely. Tomorrow we go to Bradford. Maybe see film.
He leans over her.
What's all this in aid of?
They rub noses and smile at each other.
A cup of tea?
I have half a cup.
Sajid sits at the front door and looks out at the street. The boy on the space hopper bounces by. Ernest, his figure framed by the fur lining of Sajid's parka hood, drags a sledgehammer across the street to his friend.
Sajid, you come to the canal. I must to get some rat's tails.
Yeah, I'm going to Bradford.
You all right, Ernest?
We'd have to get rat's tails from down canal.
What do you want them for, Ernest?
You get sixpence from down the town hall. My granddad said so.
He's having you on. Dad, the van's here.
George, in the parlour, looks through the drawers of the sideboard.
Come on, you lot, the van's here.
He pulls out a photograph album. A Pakistani man in his 30s jumps out of the van and kisses Abdul on the side of each cheek. The man pulls Sajid's hood down and pinches his left cheek.
Oi, why are you not salam me, eh?
Ouch, Papa Khalid, you're hurting me.
Oi, say salam to Papa Khalid.
Yeah, come on, say it.
Salam alaikum.
Khalid kisses Sajid on each cheek, then wipes his hands on his suit jacket. Ernest, who has red hair and blue National Health glasses, sits beside Sajid.
What are your Abdul doing kissing that bloke? Should you think anyone kissing him, all right? It's Pakistani, they all do it.
It's not just Pakistani. Pigeon Dennis does it as well. He gave our kid a shilling for doing it.
Did he?
He did. He gives you half a crown if you punch him in the balls.
George, come on, we'll be late.
George is still searching. He takes the photo of Abdul from the wall.
That way, kids. Away. Thank you.
Hello. Hello. You look nice. Just off, bungle.
George!
He lifts Tarek's photo, puts it in a bag, then goes out the front door. He slides open the front passenger door. Sajid sits beside his mother.
And I put him in bloody back. He's smelling.
Go sit in the back with Abdul, Cop.
Sajid sulkily climbs out. George squeezes into the seat and closes the door. Khalid, the driver, puts a tape in the tape deck and the van moves off down the street and passes a woman who mops her doorstep and some boys kicking a ball. Ella wears a pale purple coat and a yellow hat. George and the older boys wear smart suits. On a country road amidst tall fir trees, the van steadily climbs a hill. It is an overcast day. The road curves around the edge of a lake with an old castle and high hills bordering it.
They film the Dam Busters there.
Mum, you say that every time we come to Bradford.
Well, they bloody did. Unless of your bleeding cheek, no one asked you to answer back, lady.
You never know what bloody happens, is here. I come to this country in 1937.
I hear maybe 1 year, and I make a bloody film.
Were you the star, Dad?
Shut it now.
No bloody stars to pay. I was shouting in a bloody crowd. I kill bloody English!
Sajid smiles and looks out of the back window.
When I come this country, I have no luggage. Today, what I got?
Got a chip shop, Dad.
Yes. Own bloody business.
The van passes through open moorland. As it turns a bend, Bradford is seen in the distance. By the side of the road, a vandalised sign reads, "Welcome to Braddy Stan." The van passes a large billboard of a pale Asian woman with a box of washing powder called Ovo. The slogan reads, "Washes whiter than white." The van stops outside the housewife's cash and carry. Khalid opens a window and sniffs the air. Tariq and Sajid watch a shopkeeper sell root ginger to happy customers.
Everybody happy in this town, see?
Forget it, George. I don't care how bleeding big the grins are. We're not moving here.
Stupid.
The van drives on. Shoppers bustle around stalls, meat, fabrics, electrical appliances, fruit and veg.
There's hundreds of them.
The van parks outside Abdul Karim's terraced house and runs over an orange space hopper at the side of the road.
Thanks a lot, mister.
I'm sorry.
That was brand new.
I buy you a new one.
A large circle of Pakistani men sit in the living room.
We should send in the army and sort out these Bengali babus once and for all.
Ye haramzade Hindustani pura Kashmir zabt karna chahte hain.
Bastard. Yeah, Khomeini, Indira Gandhi, bastard.
What Khomeini?
Khomeini.
You speak Urdu yet, huh?
I send them learning, but nothing.
Same. Go and take the boys to shop.
Sons, go with Hussein. See how chicken killed.
They remain seated.
Go.
They stand up.
Hey.
Sajid joins his brothers and leaves the room. George unzips his bag as the mullah enters with a perspiring fat Pakistani man.
Assalamu alaikum. Salam.
Waluna.
Mr. Shah.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Alaikum. Zahir. Mr. Shah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
What khushi.
The baby.
Ella, Mina, and Helen Karim look at photos in the adjoining room.
I can't believe Shireen's married. When will she come back from Pakistan?
I don't know, love.
Helen! Becky!
The thumping dislodges a framed photograph on the wall. It tilts on its hook.
Mina, go on with the camera.
Helen, in an orange sari, straightens the frame. The black and white wedding photograph shows mother and daughter in traditional costumes. They look miserable. Father smiles proudly. As Helen sits beside Ella at the table, her face creases.
Hey, cock. Come on now, don't cry.
Ella stands up and hugs her.
My baby.
George takes Tariq and Abdul's photographs out of his bag.
Oh, my wife is really looking forward to seeing those. Oh, yes, we've heard so much about your family. I mean, six sons. Huh? Au revoir. You've been truly blessed.
Five. One dead.
George casts his eyes downwards. Mr. Shah quickly unfolds an embroidered red and gold cloth and produces a large gilt frame, which he hands to the mullah, who passes it round the room. Each person glances at it briefly. Khalid hands it to George. His smile disappears as he looks at the coloured photographs of two very ugly sisters. One has large, protruding teeth, black half-moon glasses and wears a sky-blue sari. The other is overweight, wears dark-rimmed glasses and a dull wine-coloured sari. Everyone watches George. He forces a smile.
Sonny.
Beautiful. The mullah raises his hands heavenwards. Mr. Shah is relieved and everyone smiles.
So, my friends, are we agreed? Abdul will marry Noshaba and Tariq will marry Nigat?
George swallows, nods his head and smiles weakly.
MashaAllah.
Mr. Shah beams with delight. In the middle of the room, he clasps George's hands.
Your daughters are my daughters. We are one family.
They embrace warmly. Mr. Shah, close to tears, blinks rapidly. He looks at George with gratitude, then laughs and hugs the mullah. On a cinema screen, a pretty Asian woman in Western clothes skips about waving a pink scarf in the air. A handsome Asian man gawks at her. The van arrives at the cinema and the Khan family walk into the foyer. Ali Khan wears purple trousers, a gold silk shirt, gold chains around his neck and sunshades. He comes down the busy stairs with his cinema manager.
Uncle, uncle, uncle. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Auntie G, you're looking more beautiful every time I see you. We all well? Yeah? So, Chacha, why didn't you tell me you were coming? You know, I've had some food prepared.
No problem, Putar. We eat already.
Yeah?
We come see Chow Finger Chan.
Yes, Sahib. This film is not showing today.
Oh. Oh, well, never mind.
Auntie G, no problem. Sahib? Change picture. Put on Chan Vinga Chan.
Sahib, the film is already playing for half hour.
And shut.
How? Who owns this bloody cinema?
You do.
We'll change the bloody film. Look at there. Whatever my family want, you get. Go.
Two projectionists sit on the floor eating a carry-out. The manager bursts in.
What the fuck are you doing? You're supposed to be flipping working. Change film, quickly, you cow-worshipping bastard!
Ali Khan leads the family into the packed cinema and shines a torch on a row of occupied seats.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, listen, this can I back you? Please, okay, up, let's go. I'm sorry, up, please.
Go, okay. The whole row stands up and moves. The projectionist changes the reel as the Khan family take their seats. He closes the front of the projector and presses the start button. The screen curtains open as the film begins. On screen, a beautiful Asian woman lies asleep on the floor of a moon-drenched balcony in a magnificent palace. An Asian man in splendid gold embroidered coat stands in the corner with his arms folded, looks longingly at her and sings. George and Ella smile at each other warmly and clasp hands. Sajid throws popcorn at the screen and is clipped on the ear by Khalid. Tariq and Abdul are engrossed in the film. On screen, the girl is awake and looks seductively at the man who kneels beside her. George looks across at Tariq and Abdul, who look back at their father. He averts his gaze, nods his head and smiles. The brothers look briefly at each other, then back to the screen. In the film, the man moves to embrace the girl, but she stands up quickly, lifts the veil of her sari over her head and looks out from the balcony at the full moon and the lily pond below. In the boys' bedroom, Sajid and Salim lie asleep in the same bed. Tariq tiptoes by them and climbs out of the window and carefully descends a ladder in darkness.
Psst, Tariq. Abdul, what are you doing?
I want to come with you.
You can't.
I want to see what it's like.
Tariq waits at the foot of the ladder as Abdul climbs out of another window.
Hurry up, then.
A queue outside a disco.
There you go, all right. Hiya. Hi, hello. Yeah, go on. Sorry, lads. Members only, yeah?
What? Well, they're not members.
You're not listening to me. I said members only.
Oh, this is shite.
Go on your way.
Two young Asian men walk away in disgust.
Hiya. All right, in you go.
Yeah.
All right, Tony, how you doing, mate?
Right, Bazza.
Yeah, good to see you. All right, in you go.
Nice, mate.
Where do you think you're going, Smiler?
Abdul freezes.
This is our kid, Arthur. My name's Arthur.
All right. On you go.
Tariq and Abdul enter the nightclub.
All right, yeah. Hiya.
They climb the stairs inside.
Tony Malarkey about.
Don't worry about it. Relax. Enjoy yourself, Arthur.
Tariq wears a brown leather jacket. Abdul wears a tie with his three-piece suit. Tariq struts through the swing doors, followed by Abdul, who is wide-eyed and open-mouthed at the dancing crowd in front of him. A dyed blonde and a brunette kiss Tariq on each cheek. Abdul watches in bewilderment. Tariq is in the centre of the dance floor with the two girls, his hips and shoulders gyrating to the beat. He looks from one girl to the other. They smile and sway to the music. Abdul shuffles from side to side at the edge of this trio, concentrating hard on copying his brother's actions. Outside, Stella and Peggy at the door.
Evening, ladies. You're looking nice.
Thank you.
All right, in you go.
The blonde stares at Tariq and swishes her hair from side to side as they dance. Abdul dances nervously around the gyrating brunette. Peggy and Stella scurry onto the floor, then stop when they see Tariq with the blonde. Peggy's jaw drops. Stella storms over to the blonde and pushes her. The brunette leaves Abdul.
What the fuck do you think you're doing dancing with my boyfriend, slag? Do you fucking want some or what?
I'm sorry. I didn't know it was with you.
Yeah, well, you do now, so you can fuck off.
Stella, we were just dancing.
No, love, but she's a slag.
Drink.
Let's go.
Did you see that slag after my tarot peg?
Didn't notice him complaining.
The barman juggles with a bottle of spirits. He tosses it behind his back and drops it.
Bollocks.
Tariq and Abdul look at each other and shake their heads. Peggy and Stella join them at the bar.
I'm thirsty.
Peggy grins at Abdul.
Have a car lime, rum and black. Easy on the letter, eh?
I'll have a brandy and baby sham, please.
Can I have another lemonade?
You're gonna need more than a lemonade with that.
Oh, you cheeky twat!
Peggy turns to the man beside her, preens herself and smiles at him. With hair dishevelled and bra strap drooping halfway down her thick arm, Peggy drapes herself around Abdul's shoulders. He pushes her face away as she lunges at him open-mouthed. Tariq grins. Tariq swathes with Stella. George's grubby underpants hang over the end of his bed. He lies on top of Ella.
Would you nick some of the weight on your elbows?
He continues to thrust inside her. Still in his parka jacket, Sajid urinates into a bucket. Tariq and Abdul return through the open window. Tariq drunkenly throws his jacket on the floor and falls on top of Salim, who is in bed. Tariq pushes Sajid away from the bucket.
Hey, I'm first. Shh. Go and use the one in my mum's room. Quietly.
Tariq is sick into the bucket. Sajid rushes desperately into his parents' bedroom and runs over to a bucket in the corner. George is still on top of Ella. He stops making love and looks over his shoulder towards Sajid. Ella, lying underneath her husband, stares at her son in his parka jacket and pajama bottoms. Sajid scurries across the floor and out of the room. The string on his parka hood gets trapped on the other side of the door as it closes. Ella lights a cigarette in bed.
Arranging a friend and a family come from Bradford. I hope that boy not embarrassing me.
Oh, who's that?
His name is Trishaw. Good family. Been in this country 25 years. Got double extensions. He got two daughters, you know. Same age as Abdul and Tariq.
Sajid listens outside the door.
Christ's sake, George. We're not going to go through all that again. You've got to talk to the boys.
I'll tell them, but I won't bust to telling them.
They have a right to know, George.
What do you mean, right? Pakistani believe if father asks son marry, son follow father's instruction.
Oh, I knew you were up to something. Look what happened with Nazir.
Don't mention that bastard's name to me. He's dead.
No, he's not. He's living in Eccles.
Ella gets out of bed.
He might be dead to you, but he's still my son.
Why you not listen, you stupid? I tell you, Ella, if you don't want to live my way, then you're fucking off now and take your bastard kids out of my house. Where are you going?
I'm going to make some tea.
Sajid dashes away.
I have half a cup.
She storms out. George shakes his head.
Morning.
A postman walks along the street with a large parcel. A milkman places bottles on doorsteps. Sajid lies at the foot of the bed, still wearing his parka and wriggles. Salim and Mania lie beside each other at the top of the bed. Salim hits Sajid on the head.
Oh, fucking mug.
Let's stop.
Oh, you two, shut up.
Shut it, Dandy.
George stands at the bedroom door, bucket in hand.
Hey, time to get up.
Wearing a blue skirt and top, Ella, smiling, carries the large parcel into the living room. Noticing George next door by the sink in the kitchen, she hides the parcel under the table. George comes from the kitchen and puts on his jacket. Ella sits smoking.
So are you going to say out to these boys about this engagement, or will I have to do it?
Hey, Eustace, you no get involved with my business, missus. I'm warning you.
He points his finger at her, moves towards the door, then turns.
You say nothing till I say. Understand?
He looks briefly up the stairs, then strides down the hallway to the front door. Ella continues to smoke her cigarette. She puts the cigarette in the ashtray, opens a box of chocolate chip cookies, then pours them onto a plate. She stands up and moves to the staircase.
Abdul, Tariq, Mania, Salim, Mina, Sajid, get up! Your breakfast ready!
A 45 record spins on a record player. Abdul looks in the mirror and pulls a short-sleeved white shirt over his head. Tariq, in his underpants, steps in front of him, examines his eyes and grimaces. Mina sits up bleary-eyed in her single bed in her own room. Mania kneels on the floor of his bedroom and bows in prayer. Ella lifts a new pink hat out of a hat box. Sajid takes his pyjama bottoms off as Salim sits on the bed and sculpts a clay foot as he rocks to the music. As Mania prays, Sajid's pyjama bottoms land on his head. Tariq stands in front of the mirror holding a comb in his hand, pretending to sing into the microphone. Ella takes off her new hat as Abdul comes down the stairs.
Nice hat, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Your dad... doesn't matter. You better go to work. You'll be late.
He drains his cup of tea, takes a biscuit and clips Sajid on the head.
Morning, Mum.
Salim pulls Sajid out of the chair.
Mum, I need 3 bob for the materials for my sculpture.
Oh, do you?
She takes a purse from the sideboard, opens it and hands him the money. Sajid sits with her new hat on his head.
Hey, you lucky head, that's my new hat.
She lifts it from him. George in a fabric shop. A dazzling array of colourful cloths and jewellery cover the walls and tables. George examines a rich red and gold cloth, weighing it in his hands. He looks closely at 2 white and gold traditional wedding hats. The shopkeeper hands him 2 Arabic watches which he holds proudly in front of him. Stella and Peggy at the door to the Khan's backyard.
All right, Salim.
All right, Stella. That's a nice frock. Is it new?
Yeah, knocker from Docks. Says Leonardo on the label.
Fancy.
It's my Tarikin.
Yeah. Tariq!
Peggy is furious that Salim hasn't noticed her. She kicks the bin.
I'll be back soon.
You all right? Keep your hat on, Gandhi.
Ernest and his grandfather hand out Enoch Powell leaflets as George walks along the road with bags in both hands.
Next week, next Tuesday, Assault for All. Please, let's sign a petition on repatriation. And here, look, see, there's one of them now. Got his bags packed on his way home.
Salam alaikum, Mr. Khan.
Shut up, you little bastard. Right, come and see Enoch speak at the Salt and All next Tuesday.
In the backyard, Mania guts fish and watches Tariq as he kisses Stella.
Love. We're just like Romeo and Juliet.
I'll never let the colour of your dad come between us.
It's not fair, because I love curry and all.
Yeah, right. Nice one.
Hey, come out tonight. We can sit on the steps by the dock mission.
Bring your sleeve for Peggy.
What do you want to go and bring Fat Arse with you for?
Shut it, Tariq. She might hear you.
Too late. She already fucking did.
Oh, Peggy, hang on. Hang on, he didn't mean it. Did you, Tarek?
Yeah, it was just a joke, Peggy. Hey, look, come on. I'll give you free chips for a week.
Hey, do you hear that, Peg? Free chips for a week.
Peggy, in an orange floral mini dress, lime green cardigan and white lace-up boots, comes back round the corner.
I want a bottle of Coke as well. And you ask Celine to give it a snog.
I'll ask him, but he might have to be happy with a bag of chips and a Coke.
Ella and Annie sit outside the chip shop having a smoke.
Aye.
You took your bleeding time.
No start bloody trouble with me, missus. Or I send for Mrs. Khan, number one. I tell her, come quick. Second wife giving me bloody trouble.
Me dad's back.
Mina, Genghis.
Stella and Mina are Scarpa.
Why only Munir in a bloody shop, huh? Salim. Why you know where suit I buy for you to wear in college?
It's in the cleaner's time.
How do you get job as engineer dressed like a bloody hippie? Go change bloody clothes. Leave fucking fish.
Salim dashes into the house. George watches Tarek brush the ground energetically.
Hey, you.
He grabs Tarek's long fringe.
I thought I'm telling you get bloody haircut.
I'm not time, Dad. I'll get it cut tomorrow.
Munir, go get me scissors. Nobody, mister. I bloody cutting. None of my sons looking like Pastor Hippie.
Honestly, I'll get it cut tomorrow.
George opens the back door. In the alleyway, a hysterical Peggy is pinned against the wall by the huge black and white Great Dane. Stella holds a bin lid in her hand and hops from foot to foot. George goes back into the yard and closes the door. On a pouring wet night, Ella leads her children towards a red telephone kiosk by the side of a railway track. They all try to shelter beneath two umbrellas. Ella enters the kiosk with Sajid and Mina while the others huddle outside. Ella picks up the phone. At home, George sits on his own in the living room, reads a magazine and has a smoke. He puts the magazine down on the red formica top table and looks around wondering where his family is.
You've been where? Your brother's been to Paris?
Paris?
How'd you get there, Cock?
By a plane from Ringway.
Yeah. He's been on an aeroplane to Paris from Ringway Airport.
Did he get me out?
Where is Mrs. Smith?
Don't be
stupid.
What's
that?
Sajid, yeah, you better have a word. He's champing at the bit.
Is he still wearing that bloody pack?
Yeah, he's still wearing it.
Oh, God.
Sajid, it's awesome to see you.
Hiya, kid. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You behaving yourself?
No, he's not. He's still a mug. And he's got half a knob.
Get off from talking to him. When are you coming home?
I'll come home and see you soon, Sajid, yeah?
Hey, let me have a go, Spaz.
Oh, pack it in.
Oh, yeah, he's pissing down now, eh?
Here.
All right, our kid.
Yeah,
ask him what the talent's like in Eccles. Tarek wants to know what the birds are like.
That's enough. It's me again.
Listen, ma'am. Why don't you come over and see me?
Yeah, as soon as I can. But you know how it is.
Yeah.
You are happy now, aren't you, son?
Yeah.
Look, I better go.
Say hello to Abdul and Tarek for me.
All right, Cock. Yeah, God bless. Yeah, I do miss your son. Oh, and is he...
Yeah?
Oh.
Ernest plays football outside his house, which has a poster of Enoch Powell on one of the windows. Mina, in school uniform, passes with friends. He throws her the old leather ball. She steadies it with her foot and Ernest crouches in front of the window. She kicks, Ernest ducks and the ball flies over his head.
Oh, bloody hell, Mina!
Everyone runs for cover. Grandfather opens the lace curtains. His cut face fills a hole in the glass.
Ernest! Ernest! Come back here, you little bastard!
Tarek urinates in the outside loo. Sajid furtively opens the backyard door, looks at Tarek, then at Salim's sketch of the penis. He is unaware of Mina behind him. She looks over his shoulder.
What are you doing, father?
She pushes him over to the loo.
He's just in time to look at your knob.
Come here, freak!
Sajid dashes into the house and scuttles up the stairs.
Smell a little basket.
Spaz, come here, pervert!
He rushes into his room where Salim sits on the bed and nods towards a cupboard.
Where are you?
Sajid hides in the cupboard as Tariq and Mina dive into the room. They look at Salim, who nods at the cupboard. Mina opens it and grabs Sajid.
I think it's time that colt went in the bin. Don't you, Mina?
No! Help! Mum, get off
get
me!
Get the button!
Oh, Mum! I can't even think. Leave me alone.
What do you know, Spaz?
About the engagement.
Salim and Mina look at Tariq.
What engagement?
Tell us!
Next door, Mania puts his prayer book down and listens.
My dad's got you and Abdul engaged. And you're gonna get married.
Is this true, Sajid? If you're lying, I'll have you.
I'm not. I heard him tell me, Mum.
Tariq storms into the room where the old chest sits on the floor. He throws open the lid and finds wedding garments.
Tariq, don't. My dad'll kill us.
I don't believe this. I'm not marrying a fucking Paki. I'll bet you knew about this, Gandhi.
No.
Fuck you, Gandhi.
No, I never, I swear.
Who the fuck does he think he is?
Tariq.
He throws the contents on the floor.
Tariq, stop it! Give up! Stop it!
He finds the watches.
Tariq, leave it.
Tariq holds the watches in his hand.
Come on, let's clear this lot up.
He drops the watches and stamps on them.
Oh, shit! Tariq, don't!
We're all gonna be in trouble!
Sajid looks out of the window. They drag Tariq out of the room. George looks up the stairs. Mania in the room on his knees frantically tries to tidy up the mess. George walks in. Mania's hands shake as he fumbles with the ripped clothing. George stares at him.
Who done this, Peter?
Huh? I don't know, Dad.
George stands over Mania, who keeps his head down and crouches over the old chest into which he places the wedding garments.
I ask you, who's doing this? Huh? I ask you, bastard question.
He grabs Mania by the collar and hauls him to his feet.
You do this? Who do this?
I don't know, Dad.
You know who done this? Huh?
George notices the broken watches on the floor. He bends down, picks them up and puts them in his jacket pocket.
Come with me. Come with me, you bastard.
He grabs him by the collar, opens the front door and throws him into the street. George slaps him across the face, then drags him along the street. Mania cowers away from him, holding the side of his face. In the chip shop, Ella counts the takings.
Look at this! Look at your bloody kids do to my thing! Look at this! I'm asking you, who did it?
I don't know.
Oh my God, who did it?
No! George!
Who did it? He's lucky, I know bloody kill him!
Who if you it? Touch him again, I swear to God, I'll swing for you myself, George.
Who do it? Who
Lanier, do it? Come on out the back, quick!
Who do it? Go who do it?
Leave him alone, you bastard!
I haven't yet finished with you, mister! You just same as you bloody kid. I, your husband. You should agree with me like a proper Muslim wife.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm a Muslim wife when it suits you. I stopped being a Muslim wife when this shop once opened, you know, when one of your relatives was out at the Home Office. Don't make me bloody laugh, George.
I done no starting, because I fix you like I fix your bloody kid. You all fucking trouble with me?
They're only trouble because you don't listen to them. You never have.
You've been married to me 25 years and known nothing!
Yeah, right! 25 years I have been married to you, George! I have sweated my guts out in your bastard shop!
And I have given you 7 kids as well. And I will tell you this for nothing. I am not going to stand by and watch you crush them one by one because of your pig bloody ignorance!
No!
You
no.
Bastard bitch! No. You bucker! No. You call me no. Pig, you bitch! No. You talk to me like this again, I'll kill you, bloody bitch! And burn all your bastard family when you sleep!
Oh, George, with staring eyes, pulls away from Ella as she lies in a crumpled heap in the corner. Mania crouches in the back room, his right cheek cut and bleeding. Sajid looks through the window of the lock shop entrance and weeps.
This cloudy planet is the Earth, our home. We know it's crowded with people and life and things going on.
In the living room, Tarek sits glumly in front of the television. Abdul stares at the floor. Ella, her left eye badly bruised, and Mania, his right cheek and lower lip swollen and cut, sit on the sofa and watch TV. Mania glowers at Tarek, who briefly glances at him.
No trees, no rivers.
In the parlour, George stands alone, hand on hip. The room is gloomy, a standard lamp the only source of light. George walks over to the barber's chair and strokes its armrest fondly.
There's Tiny Clanger.
Sajid rests his face on his hand, and Mina, in school uniform, sit close to the television. Salim, his art folder in his hand, comes into the living room.
Mum, I need another 2 and 6 for my sculpture.
He puts his canvas backpack on the floor, takes off his jacket, and notices Mania's cut face. He sits down and looks at Abdul, who lowers his eyes sadly. As Ella hands him the money, she turns the bruised side of her face towards him.
So, when are we going to see this great work of art, then?
Sunday.
Well, make sure you're back by dinner time, because we've got visitors coming over from Bradford.
A party? The Clangers are having a party.
Do we all have to stay in?
Yeah, you do.
If he thinks I'm sticking round, he's got another thing coming.
As long as you're living under his bastard roof, you'll do as you're told.
Abdul stares at the TV.
Do you hear me? Well, do you?
We always take my dad's fucking side. None of this would have happened if you'd told us what was going on. Well, you can both fuck off if you think I'm getting married to a fucking packy.
Hey, it's not me mum's fault.
No, I'll just keep it shut. And do what my dad tells you. There's a good boy.
Abdul watches Tarek leave.
Oh, what's the bastard point?
Sajid leans on Ella's shoulder and holds her hand. In his bedroom, Tarek throws a small suitcase on his bed. He takes some clothes from the wardrobe. Abdul comes into the room. Tarek packs the clothes into the case and searches in the chest of drawers. Abdul stares angrily at him.
Why can't we just sit down and talk to him?
Don't you understand yet? He's never going to give a shit about how you feel or what you think. I am your father, you are my son, you do as I say, boss.
Abdul shakes his head.
And what you're doing is going to solve everything, is it?
Sold it for Anazir, didn't it?
Abdul watches Tarek as he closes the lid and locks the suitcase.
Abdul, come with me.
I don't want what you want.
What the fuck do you want?
I want me family, and I don't want anyone hurt anymore. Tarek, don't go! Look, maybe you'll be satisfied with just one of us getting married.
Tarek pauses at the doorway and turns back into the room.
I've had enough. I can't stay.
Abdul turns his back on his brother and gazes out of the window. Tarek looks at him sadly, then walks out. Salim sits on his bed and looks out to the hall.
Where are you going, our kid?
Nowhere.
Wait for me.
He grabs his jacket.
Nowhere. I'll come with you.
Mina dashes out the door in her school uniform, holding her satchel.
Tarek! Tarek, wait! Don't leave without me!
Stella and Peggy run along the street carrying suitcases. They join Tarek, Salim and Mina at the bus stop.
We won't let them break us up. Let's elope!
It's so romantic! We can't. I've got to elope on my own.
Getting married to someone else.
No, I'm not. Well, that's where I'm going. Hey, that don't mean I was going to get married to you either.
Stella starts to cry.
Oh, stop cracking for fuck's sake, you mad ass. Celine, get your change out.
A green bus stops. The group alight across the road from a fashionable hat shop called Nouveau Chapeau. Exclusive hats are displayed in the shop window. Inside, Tarek is impressed by the stylish decor. The walls are white, the The lighting is radiant, the chic hats are displayed on elegant glass stands, and a large white flower sits on top of a glass and steel coffee table. A refined lady in furs sits and watches Peggy, whose mouth gapes open. Two receptionists, dressed completely in white with turban-style hats, look at the group in bewilderment.
Here, come, please.
I think they mean Mr. Nigel.
Nazir on the spiral stairs with a hatted lady.
Flowers are all the rage this season. If I ever let you down, don't think so. Trust me, darling. The style, the colour, looks fabulous.
His smile evaporates when he sees the group staring at him. Nazir shows his sister and brothers into his office, but he slams the door shut on Stella and Peggy.
Charming.
Nazir wears platform shoes, stripy flared trousers and a yellow shirt with beads.
Do you think you could put us up for a while till I get myself sorted, like?
Why? What's going on?
Tell him, Tarek.
Nigel, there you are.
Etienne kisses Nazir.
Who are those dreadful girls out there? They are damaging the merchant... Oh, hello. Who's this?
These are two of my brothers, Tarek and Salim. It's my sister, Mina. Tarek was wondering, can you come and stay with us for a bit?
Well, of course, you must. Are these your things?
Yeah, but I'm still in two minds of what I should do.
Salim grins at Tarek.
OK, I'll leave you to talk. But you are more than welcome to come and stay with us any time.
Yeah, right. Nice one. Thanks.
Allez, viens, précieuse, viens.
He leaves with his Afghan hound.
Who's he?
He's my friend.
Oh. Why is he talk funny?
He's my boss.
Oh.
So, what's going on at home?
Peggy and Stella try on hats.
Try that one.
Etienne, get the car. We're going home.
Nazir strides out of the shop. Stella and Peggy grab their suitcases.
Should we get a stop for lunch?
In Etienne's Rolls Royce.
I can't wait to see your dad's face when he sees you.
I'm sure this is very wise, Nigel.
The car turns into the street, followed by a crowd of children.
Oh, look at all them dogs! Oh, there's me in it! Hey,
me! You keep your fucking trap shut!
Sorry.
Nazir, in an alligator skin coat, knocks at the Khan's front door. Munir opens it.
Where is he, Munir?
Munir looks at his brother and the crowd.
Is that him at last? Nazir!
Oh, Mum, what's he done?
You can't stay, son. You've got to go.
No, Mum. We've got to sort it out.
We'll be fine, Cocky. Just make things worse if your dad sees you here.
Mum, they're coming.
George and Sajid.
Please, son, just go. Please, just go.
What are you doing?
You kill him.
Don't listen to her. Hey, you said you'd sort this out.
I can't, our kid. Mum's right. Just got to make it worse.
Yes. For sake.
You've got my address, yeah?
Just go.
If he touches you again...
Just go, son. We'll be fine. I'll call you soon, yeah? You!
She hauls Tarek away from the departing car.
Nazir!
Sajid runs towards the car, but it doesn't stop. Nazir and Etienne slide below the window level when they pass George.
Nazir!
Sajid and the kids chase the car down the street. The Afghan leans out the window.
What are we
going to
do now, Tarek?
I don't care what you do, Stella.
Stella lowers her head and cries. Tarek stares resolutely into the distance as George walks towards the house. George puts replacement wedding garments into the old chest, closes the lid and padlocks it. George watches television.
Well, this is almost like a victory roll on the part of these Indian pilots. They're so close, they're flying so low, and they're meeting absolutely no opposition at all.
He sits at the table.
13th day of all-out war, peace has finally come to East Pakistan.
Munir gets up to switch the TV off. Mina hands a cup of tea to Ella.
Oh, thanks, Cock.
Why you wear this bloody short skirt, Mina?
It's a school uniform, George. She has to wear it.
Well, she not in bloody school now. On Sunday, you wear sari. Your auntie refer send you from Pakistan.
I wear my trouser suit instead, Dad.
You no bastard, hear what I say? You fucking deaf!
Meenow looks pleadingly at Ella.
Oh, bloody look at your mum, missus!
He hits Meenow with a cushion.
You no bloody help you! I'm telling what to do! You understand?
All right, George, she heard you.
He sits down.
Oh, bench you, I've fed up with you all, Packers! On Sunday, Mr. Shah coming. If I not see you showing respect to him and a me, I fucking sort you all out. And no more playing bastard games with you.
He pushes his teacup across the table. Sajid peers out from his parka hood. Ella and Salim glower at him. Manir and Meenar look downwards in fear. In the Britannia pub, Abdul sits alone at a table where a barmaid puts down another half pint of lager. He picks it up with both hands and sips from it. His colleagues from the garage come in.
Gungadin, I'm drinking the white man's brew.
What are you doing here, Abdul?
It's me stag night. I'm getting married.
Who to?
Don't know. Me dad hasn't bothered introducing us yet.
His colleagues look at him in amazement. Abdul shakes his head. In the back room of the chip shop, George is gutting fish. Tariq comes through slowly from the shop and stands against the wall. He stares at his father, who carries on gutting.
What bloody is starting? Because I'm not in bloody mood.
Look, Dad. We're all fed up of being told what to do and where to go.
George points the knife at him.
I'm warning you, mister. I'm not bringing you up to give me no respect. Pakistani son always shows respect.
Dad, I'm not Pakistani. I was born here. I speak English, not Urdu.
George frowns and puts the knife down on the table. He moves over to Tariq and places one arm against the wall.
Son, you no understand, because you no listen to me. I trying to show you a good way to live. You know English. English people never accepting you. In Islam, everyone equal, see? No black man, no white man. All Muslim. Special community.
I'm not saying it's not, Dad. I just think I've got a right to choose who I get married to.
You want to choose like Nazir? And lose everything? You want bloody English girl? They're no good. They go with other men, drink alcohol, no look after.
George turns back to the table and picks up the knife. Tariq steps towards him.
Well, if English women are so bad, why did you marry me, ma'am?
George pins him against the wall by the throat.
Bastard, I tell you, no go too far with me. You do what I tell you. Bas! You understand? You understand me?
I understand you. I'll do what you want.
George releases his grip on his son and returns to the table.
I will get married to a Pakistani.
Good.
And you know what I'll do then? I'll get married to a fucking English woman as well. Just like my dad.
He walks out the back room into the shop. George goes to the door, knife in hand, and watches him leave. The Shah family turn into the street in their large black car. Sajid, his parka hood up, steps out from behind a parked car and Mr. Shah brakes suddenly. Sajid sticks two fingers up at him, realises who he is, then dashes away. In his bedroom, George applies eyeliner. His family wait glumly in the living room.
Mom! Mom! The pack is here!
Right, here we go. Come on, everyone, parlour, quick!
She ushers them into the parlour. George puts his hat on.
George, Maria!
Outside the Khan's house.
Right, come on.
Grandad Morehouse watches in disgust.
See, you let one of them and the old fucking tribe turns up.
As Mr. Shah knocks the door, Ernest approaches him.
Salaam alaikum.
Ernest!
Hey, bugger off.
Ernest!
With a broad smile, George strides past Ella and opens the door.
Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Shah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ella, Mr. Shah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Shah.
chap.
What's she talking like that for?
Ella is stunned when she sees the girls.
Would you like to come through to the parlour?
The Khan children scuttle away from behind the door. Sadie jumps on the barber's chair. Outside, Ernest spies through the letterbox, then the window.
Abdul, salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, Tariq.
Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Abdul comes face to face with his fiancée. She has an elaborate gold ring through her nose and peers over her half-moon glasses. She grins at him with her large teeth. He forces a smile. Tariq turns to his fiancée. He stares in disbelief at the fat, spectacled girl. He glares at his father, who moves to Sajid.
Sajid, please.
Thank you.
George hauls Sajid out of the chair. Mr. Shah lowers himself into it.
Is that too low?
George pumps the foot lever. Mr. Shah smiles politely as the chair rises.
Right.
Ella and Mania sit down beside Mina, who wears her sari. Tariq and Abdul sit down. The two Shah girls sit either side of their mother. All three wear saris. Tariq's fiancée stares at him.
So, you found it all right, Mr. Shah?
Oh, yes. No problem.
The thing is that all these little houses look the same.
Mr. Shah frowns at his wife.
To me.
Mina, would you fetch the tea, love?
Right-o-ho.
Mina stands up with her nose in the air, smiles at her mother and goes out. Mrs. Shah to Sajid.
And how old are you?
Not old enough to get married, so don't ask me.
Sajid.
Mr. Shah pats and rubs Sajid's parka hood, then looks at the grease which has rubbed off onto his fingers.
I'm sorry about him, Mr. Shah. He's, he's just been circumcised.
Indeed.
George glowers at her. Mrs. Shah looks disgusted. Sajid grins and Mr. Shah cleans his hand with a hanky.
Sajid, go see if Salim here yet.
Sajid slowly heads for the door.
Ah, yes, you're a college student. Studying to be an engineer.
Oh, really?
Ella smiles tensely as the door opens and Mina enters with a tray. She places it on the coffee table.
Ah, here's the tea.
Shukriya.
Mina hands round tea in china cups.
Where did you get this sari?
The Auntie Rifa in Pakistan.
You should wear salwar kameez. It will look much better on you than this thing.
Our Auntie Rifat said that a lot of girls are wearing saris in Islamabad. And she's quite well-to-do, isn't she, George?
Rifat bloody stupid. Even in Pakistan, women are getting too bloody moderns.
Well, I think it looks lovely.
Well, it's just not traditional dress in Pakistan, Mrs. Khan.
Tradition sees, Ella.
I didn't know you had visitors.
Anyway, this is my friend, Mr. Shah.
Hello.
His daughter's going to be married, Abdul Tariq.
Oh, is it these two? Oh, the bleeding gorgeous. Well, you're lucky you two, aren't you? Landing a couple of belters like these.
Mina.
Mina stands up and leaves the room. Ella shifts across the sofa and Annie sits down, a cigarette in hand.
Oh, Mrs. Khan, I'm very proud that your sons are joining my family. I can see you've brought them up to be very respectful.
You're right there, Mr. Shah. They're a credit to her. And you, George.
Oh, yeah, they're good boys. Bring no trouble.
They'll do anything for you, Mr. Shah. Good Samaritans they are, just like in Bible. Mania, go and see what those two are up to.
Mania grins at Tariq and Abdul on his way out. On the living room sofa, Mina bounces up and down on Sajid.
You two, shut up!
Have you seen the state of them two? The one with the teeth got a moustache like Dad.
At least she's got a neck. Tariq looks like Quasimodo.
Kids, eh? Well, you're two like that, Mrs. Shah.
No. I believe in firm discipline. especially in a non-Pakistani environment.
Well, I think you can be too harsh, don't you, Annie?
Oh, aye, yeah. Mind you, our Peter knows how far he can go before a knocking to kingdom come. That's just my husband, Mrs. Shaw.
Annie stops laughing when she notices Mrs. Shaw's humourless face. George and Mr. Shaw look at one another.
Well, I'd better be going. Congratulations again. Ta-ra, George.
George scowls at Ella. Salim enters the living room with a large box.
You'd better hurry up and get changed. They're dying to meet you.
Ow, that's cheating.
Is that the famous sculpture, then?
Minar, Manir and Sajid gather round the red and gold box. Salim slowly lifts the lid. Inside lies a flesh-coloured rubber model of a woman's vulva, complete with abundant pubic hair.
What are you going to do with that?
I'm not going to do anything with it. Oi!
What is it?
It's an example of female exploitation in art.
Mrs. Khan, how do you manage with so many children and such little space?
I've got three double beds and a single for Mina.
But where do you propose to put my daughters?
One in the attic and one on top of the chippy with Abdul. Don't worry, it's very roomy.
Mrs. Shaw looks at her husband, who is sweating profusely.
Wouldn't it be more convenient if your sons were to come and live with us?
Well, I thought that the daughters-in-law always moved in with their husband's family.
I would have thought you would be grateful for the extra space. I know that I would.
Mrs. Shaw smiles smugly at George, who frowns at his wife. Mrs. Shaw looks expectantly at Ella.
Excuse me, I'll go and see what's happened to those kids.
George anxiously watches Ella as she goes into the living room. Salim quickly closes the lid of his box.
You should have been here an hour ago. I said, where'd you put me cigs?
Look what he's got in the box, ma'am.
Oh.
Ella approaches the box with an enthusiastic smile, but as Salim lifts the lid, her face changes to disgust.
You dirty little bastard.
Ma'am, it's art.
I'll art you in a minute, you dirty little sod. I'll burn the bleeding thing.
No, oh, give me that, Salim!
Salim and Ella burst through the door. The rubber vulva flies out of their hands and lands on Mrs. Shah's lap.
What is this thing? Move it! Take it away from me!
She stands up and the model flops to the floor.
I am so sorry, Mrs. Shaw. It was the air. It came off in my hand.
This is an insult to me and my family. I will never allow my daughters to marry into this jungly family of half-breeds.
Well, they may be half-bred, but at least they're not friggin' inbred like them two monstrosities.
Ella.
Never mind, Ella. Who the frig do you think you are? Coming in here telling me that my house isn't good enough for your daughters. Well, your daughters aren't good enough for my sons or my house. And if I hear another word against my family, I will stick that fanny over your bastard head.
Mrs. Shaw rushes out of the room.
Your wife's a disgrace.
Mr. Shaw heads for the door.
Go on, piss off.
Go on, swing your bloody lock. Go on, piss off. Piss off out of my house. Take Laurel and Hardy with you.
As she slams the door, the huge black and white dog pounces on Mrs. Shaw. Her daughters run up the street. Ella returns to the parlour. George glowers at her.
You bastard bitch. You bring a shame on a family.
Sajid hugs his mother.
No, you should be ashamed, George.
She walks over to him.
Because you're not interested in these kids being happy. You just want to prove to everybody what a great man you are. Because you're ashamed of me, George. And you're ashamed of our kids. And you won't even admit it.
He grabs her by the throat, but Tariq pushes him away as Abdul grabs him around the waist.
Leave her alone! Bitch!
Get off the door,
you will not touch her again!
Do not talk to me like that.
No, Dad, it's over. Finished! Sajid, pack it in!
Abdul pushes Sajid away from his father, but the Parker hood rips off in his hands. Sajid dashes out of the door.
Are you happy now,
now, Dad? Is this what you wanted?
I know what is best for you all. Maneer, you understand me?
Maneer looks doubtfully at his father, then comforts his mother.
Son?
Have you got the message now?
Bastard, hold your phone!
Just calm down, right?
Abdul restrains George from attacking Tariq. George's anger subsides. He looks from side to side and is close to tears.
I only want to help you, son. I don't want to hurt you.
Swallowing hard, Abdul looks directly at George. Tariq has his arm around Ella.
Ella?
No. Just go, George. Just go.
Ella!
Ella sits hunched on the sofa, her head bent in sorrow. Tariq hugs her, Maneer touches her arm, and Mina holds her hand. George leaves. Abdul watches him go.
Don't cry. It wasn't your fault.
George closes the front door and steps onto the street. He places his hand on the wall to steady himself, then walks slowly along the pavement. Ernest stands in the alleyway.
Salaam alaikum, Mr. Khan.
George turns around sadly and looks at Ernest.
Walaikum salam.
George nods, then continues along the street. Ernest watches him go.
Should have kicked his fucking head in, Abdul. I couldn't hit me dad.
That bastard's not a father.
Pack it in, the lot of you get me bleeding nerves.
I can't do anything to please you. If it's not you, it's your dad. If it's not your dad, it's you. You're nothing but bleeding trouble.
She looks at Salim.
And you, Pablo bleeding Picasso, that bastard that you are talking about is my husband. And whatever you might think of him, he is still your father. So if I hear another foul-mouthed word out of any of you, I will have you. Where's Sajid?
He ran out. I ripped his hood off.
Abdul holds the Parker hood. Ella grins.
Well, it's a start.
Sajid sits in the darkness of the outside loo. A small shaft of daylight falls on his hands and face.
Sajid, come on out.
Get stuffed.
What have I done?
You showered at me for him, Dad.
I know. I'm sorry. Come on out, please.
Sajid opens the door a little and with a tear-stained face looks at Abdul. He offers him the ripped hood. Sajid stares at it.
Well, do you want it or not?
Huh?
Stick it in bin then, eh?
George sits alone behind the counter of the gloomy chip shop. The blinds open and daylight brightens the room. George raises his head, blinks and glances at Ella as she walks across the floor. She picks up a mop and a bucket and heads into the back room. George gazes at her, stares at the counter, then looks towards the back. George remains seated. Ella returns from the back room wearing her chip shop overall. Looking tired and haggard, she stands a few feet away from him and looks at the side of his face. He stares at the counter. Close to tears, George raises his head and glances around the room. He looks at Ella and holds her hand.
Have half a cup.
She nods gently. Abdul stands at the Khan's front door. Maneer sits on the doorstep and looks at his hat. Tariq and Salim lean on the wall either side of him.
You are, Stella?
Piss off, Tariq.
Stella? Hey.
Peggy beside Salim.
Hi, Salim. What
are
you doing later?
Drawing.
Can I come? Ernest, look what I got!
The rubber vulva. Oh.
What is it?
Peggy spots it.
Dinner. You bastard. You said you wouldn't show it anyone.
Hey, mum, boy.
Quick! Come back. Come here.
Come here.
Come here.
Abdul leans against the doorframe and watches Peggy lumber down the street chasing Salim, who charges after Sajid, minus his parka, with Mina and Manir in hot pursuit. They weave in and out of children playing football, riding bicycles and bouncing up and down on space hoppers. This audio description was commissioned by Film 4. The audio description script was written by Patrick O'Kane, narrated by Joe Dateen, and produced by Carol McGregor for IAD Limited at Murrican & Murrican Glasgow. The film was directed by Damien O'Donnell, written by Ayub Khan Din, based on his play, and produced by Leslie Udwin. Cast: George Ompuri, Ella Linda Bassett, Sajid Jordan Routledge, Mina Archie Punjabi, Mania Emil Marwa, Salim Chris Bissom, Tariq Jimmy Mystery, Abdul Raji James, Nazir Ian Aspinall, Annie Leslie Nicole, Ernest Gary Damar, Mr. Morehouse John Barden, Stella Emma Rydell, Peggy Ruth Jones, Papa Khalid Chris Dozange, Priest Ben Keaton, Mullah Kalim Joanoa, Abdul Karim Albert Moses, Helen Karim Rosalind March, Mr. Shah Madhav Sharma, Mrs. Shah Lena Dingra, Ali Khan Jimmy Harkishin, Zaid Saker Ahmed, Dr. Ralph Burtwell, Etienne Francois Thierry Harcourt, Mark Gary Lewis, Fatwa Roger Morledge, Bouncer Bruce McGregor, Receptionist Margaret Blakemore. And the executive producer was Alan J. Wands, line producer Shelley Smith, makeup designer Penny Smith, costume designer Lorna Marie Muggan, original music by Deborah Mollinson, production designer Tom Conroy, editor Michael Parker, director of photography Brian Tofano, BSc. The original stage production of East is East is by the Tamasha Theatre Company and the English Stage Company.